Thank you. First of all, I want to officially thank everybody. My wife and I have had a problem for about 9 months, and we want to appreciate all the calls, the food, the prayers, everything. We really appreciate it because it helped to encourage us to get through what we've been through. So I never officially been able to say thank you. And I have a friend here by the name of Dave who came over quite often and not only encouraged me but challenged me. And anybody ever needed challenged? Okay. And this morning, the song that we sang at the end said, keep your eyes above what?
Water.
Above the waves. And then James come up and he used Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 and so on. So I figure my sermon's done so I can just pray and go home. you know, I won't do that. But anyhow, I really appreciate it. The Lord has been really good. And my message is based on starting, is your faith being tested? Anybody? Okay, I figured that might be the case.
Amen.
How many of you know that life can change like that? In an instant, within a split second, I went down. Last Sunday, we had a nephew, 44 years of age, died instantly of an aneurysm. You see, life is no guarantee on this earth, but life is guaranteed in eternity. If you know the Lord. And that's very important. Does anyone feel like they've been in a pit? Nobody feels like they've been in a pit. Either that or you may not know you've been there. You see, what happens is the fact that God knows us better than we know ourselves. And God sometimes allows certain things to take place to get our attention. I'm going to go way ahead in my message here because it says in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. For me, God had to get my attention. And the only way to get my attention is sit. Be still. And because we get so busy in life and we go through the routine, but we don't grow. You can read your Bible every day, you can pray every day, but it can be mundane if you're not really seeking, if you're not really moving in the ways that God wants you to move. And sometimes, you know, we get into a pit because others want us there, because of jealousy and all kinds of things. In some cases, we get there because of ourselves. And in other cases, it's because we're put in a situation where we get abandoned or abused or whatever. But no matter what the case, God has a plan. I'll use the example that's been used quite often in Genesis 37 and verse 20, and everybody knows the story, dealing with Joseph. His own brothers, out of jealousy, threw him into a pit, originally to kill him. The amazing thing, and everybody knows the story of Joseph, so I don't have to go into it in much detail, but to remember and to remind you that in every situation that Joseph was put in, what happened? He honored the Lord. In every situation, he honored the Lord. They didn't kill him. They put him into a foreign country, into slavery, and it says that he was so blessed that he was in charge of the whole household. And then he's thrown and accused of something he didn't do, and he's thrown in prison. And what do? They give him the keys to the prison. You see, the pit can be an awesome thing on your way to knowing God in a deeper way. We tend to look at it as, poor me. What's going on? Why me? But I'm here to tell you, God's in charge. But you have to allow him to be in charge. Now, I would like to say, I went through this and I got through it great. I know everything. I'm doing bull. I still got a lot to learn. But I do know that I'm stronger. My faith is stronger. And there's been a lot of issues that have come up. And you know, things get messy. We'll talk about that after a bit. You see, Hebrews 12:2 says, fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. See, he knew what was coming. He knew that he was going to have to endure the cross. He knew it. But he went with what? Joy. You see, we've got to turn this thing around of what the enemy or what God has put us in for a particular reason, and we've got to use it to bring forth praise and honor to the Lord. You see, joy. We know the story of Paul in prison, and what were they doing at midnight? They were praising the Lord, and they were in shackles. None of you have been in shackles in a dirty dungeon that was filthy. And if you were, what would you do? I think of Stephen. You know, there's a lot of things going on in this world right now. It would be very easy to get very angry. Stephen, accused, stoned. And in Acts chapter 7 and verse 60, he says, anybody know what it says? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Wow. You see, we have to be very careful today, because I know it's so easy to get caught up in what the world is doing. And you can see the wrong direction that the world is going in, and you can get angry. And see, the problem is, if you continue to look at what the world's doing and get angry, you'll become what you don't want to become. Because it'll destroy you. See, that's why our eyes have to be fixed on the Lord. That's why our eyes have to be up instead of down. That's why we've got to praise the Lord and worship the Lord and rejoice in the Lord no matter your circumstance. And of course, that's easy to say, right? But what did we sing about today? We sang about praise. We sang about hope. We sang about faith. That's where God wants us. That's where God wants us. You see, one thing that is taking place, and I've seen this over and over and over, is people get in situations and they don't know how to forgive, or they won't forgive. And let me tell you, that's the most crucial thing you can do. This is one definition of forgiveness. It's not the only definition by any means. Forgiveness is not an emotion. It's dragging your will in line with God's will. It's an act of obedience that's brought out by love. See, it's not what people do to you. It's how you respond to what people do to you. See, we have a tendency to react. We have to learn to respond to what people do rather than react to what people do. And sometimes that's not always the easiest thing to do. When we forgive somebody, it doesn't excuse their behavior, but it prevents you from getting your heart destroyed. So it's a two-way street. So it's important that we understand that whatever we're facing, whatever trial or temptation comes up, we seek the Lord, and if it takes forgiveness, we need to walk in forgiveness. Yes. See, it's been said for many, many years, excuse me, I'm not used to talking this much. I'm sitting in my chair all the time. As it gets closer for the Lord's return, whenever that is, and I'm not going to say, well, next week, or, you know, everybody wants to predict. But we do know as the closer it gets to the Lord's return, the enemy steps up its plan. Okay? He wants to shipwreck your faith. And he can do it very subtly. It doesn't take some humongous thing to happen to shipwreck your faith. That's why it's important to get into the Word. That's why it's important to pray. That's why it's important to fellowship. See, we have to understand that fellowship is part of it too. One of the things the Scripture says as we come to church is to encourage one another. See, when we meet and greet each other, it should be in the form of encouragement. Amen. Not just how we're, you know, don't be mundane about it. Be real about it. And when you say, how are you, mean it. See, people need people. I think there was a song years ago like that, wasn't there? Now, we need God first, but we still need people. And we need people around us that can encourage us in the ways of the Lord. I have people that encourage me. I have people that push me. I have people that say, hey, what about this? That's a good thing. You may not like it sometimes, but it's a good thing. Most of the time, I won't say all the time, I can't say that for sure, but most of the time when we're in what we feel like a pit, what we're really dealing with is a heart issue. There's something that God is trying to do in each one of us, and it usually has to do with a heart issue. And it boils down to dying to self. I've discovered a few things in these months. I thought I was okay in that area. I thought I was okay in that area. That's not the way it was. I look at it as an opportunity to know the Lord in a greater way, to get into that right relationship that God has wanted from the beginning. See, I don't know how you think, but I think most people tend to say, oh yeah, God loves me, but they don't know how to receive it. We've got to understand, it says God is love. And God made us in such a way that we would desire to know him. That's why he made you. And you know when he made you? Well, I'm going to turn to Jeremiah. Here, I got to get I'm even becoming modern here. Never done this before. Okay. Jeremiah 29. I don't think I got it on the board, do I? Is it on the board? Okay, 11 to 14. Oops, that thing messed up on me. All right, I'll just read it up there. See, God says, I know. I know. I know what I did. I know why I made you. I know what your purpose is. I know what the plan is. Trouble is, we don't. And you realize that when God made you, he didn't make up a backup person. He didn't say, well, in case this doesn't work, we'll alter it this way. No, he made you exactly the way he wanted to make you. But he also has a process that he wants to take you through. How many people like process? Oh, I see a lot of hands. I'll get to that a little bit later. See, the word says, especially in Joshua, it says many other places, be strong and of good courage. And then it says, fear not. Ooh. That seems to be a problem. You see, right now, the church and our nation, as well as the world, is going through a kingdom fix. Realize you are in the midst of a kingdom fix. That's a great thing. And this country is going through a kingdom fix. Right now, it looks pretty messy. It looks pretty bad. But let me tell you, God's at work. He's at work. Not just in this country, he's at work all over the world. I don't have time to tell you what my friend Dave's doing in the Ukraine. But I can tell you, God's beginning to do a great work all around the world. And he's using people, individual people, groups of people who are willing to listen and obey, willing to do by removing your agenda and taking on God's agenda. You see, God has an answer for this world. We know it's Jesus. But we're to represent Jesus. And so the church, that's you and me, are really the answer. We're the answer because we know the truth. And what does the truth do? It sets you free. Don't be afraid to speak the truth. I have to do it with wisdom. I understand that. Now, this is my understanding of what I feel like the Lord's doing. The Lord's doing a lot of things right now. I mean, a lot of things. But if I would have to put it into four words, I would say love, unity, praise, and prayer. Not necessarily in that order. Those are the four main things that I see that God's doing a work in his people. How do you love? The only way we can truly love is get into right relationship with God. And as we get into right relationship with God, the love of God will flow through you to others. And they will see it. And sometimes you don't even have to say a whole lot. The Holy Spirit can permeate a room when you walk into it. If the Christ within you and the love of God and relationship, then it'll permeate. And they will feel it. And if we walk in the true love of God, that will bring the unity. My whole life, I've spent coaching. And the thing that I really, really enjoyed the most was when they would come together and function together. And be, as we say sometimes, you're on the same page. That's what the church has to do. We've got to come into unity. We've got to stop the fighting, the bickering, the jealousy, the misunderstanding. That's no place. It's no place. It has no place. It was Jesus that said, "My house is a house of prayer." And we've observed this for years. Let's say the average, any church, it doesn't matter what church it is, 200 people show up on Sunday morning. 15 people show up on Wednesday night. That's the truth. To come together to pray, extremely important. That doesn't mean you can't pray at home, all that stuff. But there is where it says two or three are gathered, there I am. There's power. There's power in prayer. And when someone can come into agreement with you, that just makes it that much better. Proverbs 4. Is that on there? It keeps wanting to go back to the same old thing. It's not on there. My iPad keeps wanting me to go back to the same thing. It's up there now. Okay. Look at what it says. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my word. Do not let them out of your sight. And immediately I think of Joshua 1:8-9. Meditate day and night. Meditate day and night. That's not just a 2-minute prayer. Keep them within your heart. Let it work into you. Receive it. Let it work till it becomes a part of you. You know, when somebody says something to you, it's just automatically there. You can't give somebody something you don't have. So you've got to be able to have that within your heart. You've got to be able that it just comes a part of you. And so when things come up, and there it is. And that's what he's trying to say. Don't let it become a... All right. For they are life to those that find it. Life and health. Okay, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Wow. How do you do that? Okay, this thing finally showed up. Okay, at the end of it, it says, ponder the path of thy feet. In that song we sang, didn't talk about feet. And then the last verse says, turn not to the right nor the left, but remove thy foot from evil. See, it gives you direction. And we have to be sensitive enough to know what path God wants us on. Do I go that aisle or do I go that aisle? Do I go through that door or do I go through that door? Anybody ever had trouble figuring out which door to go through? I've had a few. Too many, in fact. See, God wants us, I won't take the time to turn to it, but Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 says to break up your fallow ground. Allow God to break up the fallow ground in your heart and let him circumcise your heart. I'm going to do something I usually don't do. As soon as I get a drink here. I'm going to declare over all of us today. I'm going to speak to the dry bones in your life. I'm going to speak to the dry bones in your life. I speak to the dry bones in your life to come alive. To come alive. To come alive. Those dry bones will wake up and come alive. To rise up and to serve the Lord. And I say, stop the jealousy. Stop the misunderstanding. Stop the division. Stop listening to the lies of the enemy. Whose report are you going to believe? The enemy will try everything it can. Shut him down. Shut him down. It takes faith. It takes trust. It takes believing and receiving the truth. It's time for all of us, because all of us have something that needs to be changed. All of us have something that God wants to say, no, let's get rid of that and let's take on this. You see, once that happens, we'll begin to be doers of the word instead of just hearers of the word. I mean, if I would stop and think about this, I went to church a couple times when I was a little kid, because my parents never really went to church till later in life. But from my freshman year on in high school, I've been in church. What's that been? Over 60 years. Long time. Think of all that. Being in church for over 60 years. Think how much more I could have learned. Think how much more I could have grown. Think how much, if I would have received it from the beginning. But we have to go through process. And I mentioned process a little bit ago. See, we're all excited about the promises of God. You know, you get a verse, somebody gives you a prophecy. Oh, man, I'm really excited about that. And then we hear, but God's taking you through the process. Oh. I don't want to go through the process. But let me tell you this. God's just as faithful in the processes as he is his promises. You believe that. His processes are just as important as his promises. Because the promises will come as a result of the process. And if you're not willing to go through the process, and let me tell you, you can walk away from it. Sorry, I wasn't going to say that, but it's... That's true. You can walk away from the process. But I can guarantee you if you do, it'll come back again. And if it comes back again, it'll be harder. Anyone ever been there? We've all been there. So what I'm saying is God is faithful. He will never leave you nor forsake you. If you're in the pit, if you're going through process, he still won't leave you. Amen. It's us that leaves him. Yeah. What I'm trying to say without, I'm trying to be positive in all this, is the fact we're in serious times. And God's wanting to get attention to the church. It's time for us to pay attention. It's time for us to rise up and say, God, we're going to trust you, and we're going to believe you, and we're going to obey you, because you are the one that's God. You're the one that's in control. You're the one that created us, and you have a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And it's for success. That's what God wants with each one of us. And it breaks my heart when I turn on the television and they're on the news and they're interviewing these people, and they said, I've heard this said several times, well, why do you want God? We don't need God in this country. Oh. The deception. We've seen it coming. But God says, if your church will rise up, we'll change this thing. He says in Isaiah that he wants to raise up his bride to a glorious. And we can be a part of that. So remember, he's just as faithful in the process as he is in his promises. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I won't give up on you. I died for you. I shed my blood for you. I'm certainly not going to give up on you. When you go through these things, it will provide a greater strength. It will provide a greater faith. And you will learn to depend upon God. Now, when Vanessa started to talk, I was going to say, I was going to go bring her my notes and say, here, finish this. She's talking about walking on the water. Okay, when Jesus walked on the water and got in the boat, he said, peace, be still. How did he calm the storm? Peace. When you're in the midst of the storm, what do we usually do? Where fight, struggle, God says, peace. The God of peace crushes the enemy under our feet. It's his peace. What is peace? Well, basic understanding of peace is simply this. I'm going to trust God. That he knows what he's doing. And then we begin to praise God. Praise God is the vehicle of faith. You know that? One of the things God's wanting his church is to really begin to praise God for all things. We in ourselves can do nothing. But it's God that receives the glory. It's God who receives the honor. It's God that should be getting praise. And when we praise him, we are, it's like getting in a car and accelerating down the road, and faith just grows. I think God wants his church, in fact, I know he does, to go to a higher level of praise. A higher level of praise. The higher the level of praise, the more you will see him. The more you will see the presence of the Lord with the praise. What happens when we get discouraged? Anyone remember what happened to the disciples when Jesus died on the cross and was gone from them? What did the disciples do? They went back to their old way of life. They were discouraged. They had been with Jesus for about 3 years, and he called them to be fishers of men. They originally had been fishermen. And they were discouraged, and most of them went back to what they knew before, which was fishing. And when Jesus appeared to them, they were fishing. And he said to them, cast your net on the other side. And finally, one of them recognized his voice and took off swimming to shore. See, we have that same tendency. When we get discouraged, we go back into that comfort zone. We go back into what we're used to. And what we're doing is actually going backwards instead of going forward. See? Discouragement. You know, the antidote for discouragement is encouragement. That's what it is. Don't go back. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, no, 11. It says, don't shrink back. Don't shrink back. Don't. I would challenge you to go home and sit down and say, faith-wise, my relation-wise, where was I with God a year ago? And where am I today? If you've moved forward, praise the Lord. If there's something that has taken you backwards, get rid of it and move forward. Another thing about love. I'm way out of whack with what I knew that would. That happens all the time. So just forget. But it says in Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exalts. Praise him with a song, and I will thank him. I never thought about this, but love is a shield. When you put on the armor of God, you got the shield of faith. But love is a shield in this sense. We can strengthen that shield of faith by what I said earlier, praise. When you praise, you're strengthening that shield of faith. When you're praising, you're anointing your shield by watering your faith. And when that happens, you're able to drive back the enemy so much easier. God inhabits the praises of his people. That should sum it up right there. In Genesis 15:1, God came to Abram and said, do not be afraid. I'm what? I'm your shield. You see, when we walk in faith, we move God. When we walk in fear, we move the enemy. So who do you want to activate in your life? God or the enemy? I mean, how many places in the scripture that says, do not fear? Major opponent. Proverbs 30, verse 5 said, every word of God is tested. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. And then he says in the next verse, he says, do not add one word to this. People today are trying to take the word of God and change it for their own good. But the word says, this is the word, this is the truth, don't change it. The winds are blowing, the storms are brewing. It's time to focus and get our eyes above the waves. That's where we're really at. And then James used Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The first part of it simply says, trust in the Lord. Trust. I wrote down something about trust. Trust is not an accident. It's the result of love that's paid a price. I'll read that again. Trust is not an accident. It's the result of love that paid a price. And God paid a price for us. We can trust Him. You see, faith is valid when it engages God's truth and carried out in love. So faith is valid when it engages God's truth and carried out in love. Let's see. I think there's one more thing I wanted to do. I've been all over the place. I never follow my notes. Okay, I got two more things. Faith grows when you use it. Seed grows when you sow it. Love grows by being it. And of course, praise is the vehicle of faith. Jesus is the complete revelation of God, and all glory goes to Him. One last thing. Well, there's two things. I was going to tell a story at the beginning. I'll tell it at the end. When the Queen of England is at home, anybody know what happens? There's a flag that flies over the home when she's at home. Okay? You know we have a flag over us? The banner over us is love. Is Jesus at home? I'll let you think about that one. All right. I don't know how I missed this. I guess I got caught up in something. I wanted to tell a story to start with, but I'll tell it at the end. Then I'll be done. Gee, on time, too. There was a rich man, and he had one son. And they had a good relationship. And the son was about to graduate from college. And his father was, like I said, rich. And so he had kind of hinted to his father, he said, you know, there's this sports car, real nice red sports car down at the local auto dealer that I'd really like to have for graduation. Now, I never had a rich father, so I couldn't ask for things like that, but he did. But he didn't see any signs that his father had purchased it or anything like that. And on the day of graduation, his father called him in and handed him a little box. It was all wrapped up. And he opened it up, and it was a Bible with his name on it. And he, now here's how we do things. He looked at that, didn't even pick it up, got angry at his father, and said, with all your money, all you can do is give me a Bible. And he walked out, never to return. And he went on, clear across the country, established his life. And years later, all of a sudden he thought, I really ought to go back to see my dad. I'm sure he's pretty old by now. Well, he got a message that very day that his dad had died and left him everything. And so the son flew back home, went through the house, and there lay that Bible just as he had put it down. Tears came to his eyes. He picked up the Bible and he began to look at it. And his dad had underlined Matthew 7:11, which said, if us being evil can give good gifts to our children, how much greater gifts can our God give us? And as he picked it up and read it, he turned it, and the key to a car fell out of the Bible. And it was the key to that sports car that he had wanted. Now, I can go a lot of analogies with that. One of them is, he didn't take the time to look at his gift. If he would have taken the time to look at his gift, he would have found a greater treasure. He also, because he didn't spend the time, he cut off relationships with his father. You see, when we get into the Word, if we don't get into the Word and get into the Word, we miss the deep treasures that are there. And we miss the relationship that God wants. You see, it's right in front of us. It's a matter of, are you going to dig deep enough to find the treasure? And everybody here, God says, I have a treasure for you. He's given you gifts, but he wants to have you be able to take those gifts and use them in accordance with his plan and purpose. God's on the throne. All glory goes to God. And I tell you what, this world is in for trouble. Because I speak the church to arise and to take its rightful place. And I'm not just talking about here. I'm talking about across the world. And there are people who are beginning to obey the Lord and honor the Lord and praise the Lord, and they're beginning to move even though you may not know it. But it's time for us to do the same thing. Okay, let's stand. Father, we thank you that you're in charge. And we want to give you honor and glory for all that you are and all that you are. For you are the only true God. You're the one on the throne, and you're the one, oh God, that we want to worship, to praise, to honor, to glorify you. And we pray your kingdom come. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, I speak your blessing upon each one here. We pray that all things work according to your will. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.